welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
I'm going to pray with us. See if you guys can close your eyes. And let's pray. Maybe I can get rid of this echo as well. Father, we thank you in the wonderful, wonderful name of Jesus for the miracle that is your church, your bride. We thank you that truly no man could have dreamt of this, could have designed it, could have engineered it, let alone steer it through 2,000 years of ups and downs. We thank you that as you did so many years ago, you are still changing lives. Here in our midst, Malawi and Namibia and all over the globe. Let every word be to the glory of your name, Father. We thank you for what you've already done in this service and how you have spoken to us. So we come to you for your rest. And I thank you, Lord, that I can bring every heart before you and trust you with those hearts, that you tonight will have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. If you can turn in your Bibles or just follow on the screen with me, I'm going to read just a few verses. And then I'm going to hand over to the Bible to do the rest of the talking. 2 Timothy 4 verse 17. Paul is speaking and he's writing one of his last letters, maybe the last letter that he ever wrote just before he died. And he writes this from a Roman prison, the second time he was imprisoned, more or less around probably 70 AD or so. Towards the end of his life when he has, Alatani Maria, he has been all over the known world at that stage preaching the gospel. And the first part of the chapter speaks about his disappointments, speaks about the fact that he at one stage had a few men around him, friends who are not with him anymore, and he's left alone in this prison, he says, besides Luke that's with him. But then he goes on and he says something amazing. 2 Timothy 4 verse 17. You go back to the previous one? Yes. But the Lord stood with me. He says, in spite of all of these trials and the fact that people disappointed me and people that once were with me, not with me anymore, he says, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear. And also I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So he says the Lord strengthened him to do something specific. The Lord was with him all along, even in his moments of weakness. And he was strengthened by the Lord to preach this message that has brought us together this evening from different parts of Pretoria and different parts of South Africa. We are joined together tonight, not just by the fact that we live in the same town or that we like the music or that we like the way that people dress or we like the beautiful girls or the very persuasive and focused young men who are going somewhere. We are brought together by the power of the gospel to change lives. We are brought together by something that has brought together people all across the globe. The message. The good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says this is what he has been living for. And the Lord has strengthened him to preach this message. And so I went to have a look at exactly what was it that Paul preached. And you will find one of his sermons in Acts 14. And I would encourage you just to go there with me while I try and find my sermon. Acts 13 verse 38. He's preaching it to the believers in Antioch, to the Jews at that stage. And he's saying to them, therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, the man Jesus, is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. He says, this is our message. This is the gospel which we are preaching, the forgiveness of sins and the justification by his blood. That is the essence of the gospel. The essence of the message that drove Paul to do incredible things was this. I am forgiven. Not by my own accord, but by what Christ has done for me. I am forgiven. Forgiven of my sins. And I'm justified by this man and what this man did. And I'm not justified by the law of Moses. In other words, I'm not justified by my own actions. I'm not justified by my own efforts. I'm justified by somebody else's actions and what somebody else did on my behalf. That is the essence of the gospel. And as Sean said this evening, that is what the Bible is all about. It is not about the rules and the regulations and all the things that we need to do. It is about this relationship that Christ came to fight for. And I've been just on a journey of late going back and looking at my own life and challenging myself to see where have I substituted relationship for regulation and rule and pattern and habit. And open up my heart again to say, Jesus, help me see you again. Nowadays, when you want to strike up a long-distance relationship, you can Skype and at least you can look up the person on Facebook. But imagine the days before that. You just wrote letters. And you had to trust getting to know the other person on the other side of this letter through what they told you. Trying to get some sense of who they are. And sometimes we go into our relationship with Jesus a little bit as if we don't have the Holy Spirit Skype available to us. As if we don't have the Holy Spirit Facebook available to us. In other words, to open up our eyes to not just hear about Him, but to see Him. To have a face-to-face connection and relationship with Him. Not just to hear about Him, but to hear Him. Like we did this evening through the worship. And Paul says something here that God's forgiveness is the fulfillment of a promise which He made in an easy scripture to remember, Jeremiah 31, verse 31. God promised, and He said this, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord." So He says to them, in the past I made this covenant with you, and this covenant was ratified in miracles. I led you out of the land of Egypt. And I was your husband. My heart yearned for you. But you could never keep this covenant. You kept on breaking this covenant. And it wasn't because of a lack of trying. Go and read the Old Testament. Israel tried and they tried and they tried. But now God says, I'm going to do something new that is going to take you beyond your trying. It's going to take you beyond your efforts. And He calls that the new covenant. And it's an amazing concept. He says, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now it won't come from the outside, He says. It will come from the inside. It will be in your heart. It will be in your mind. I'm going to imprint it there. I'm going to deposit it there. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to bury it deep inside of you. And it is going to be a part of you. You might as well try and rip up your heart and try and get rid of it. Try and live without your heart. Try and live without your brain, your mind. Some of us do that sometimes. But it's going to be a part of you. You see, Christianity is not about the stuff you bring into you. It's about what has been deposited inside of you. Are you living from your heart? Are you living from your heart? Are you living from what Christ has come to do inside of you? And He says, you will be my people and I will be your God. Not from a distance, but close to you. I experienced this in such a special way. The fact that Jesus came to demonstrate the love of God to us primarily through this one relationship, and that is the relationship of a father with a son and a daughter. That is the primary vehicle through which God demonstrates His relationship to us. We've just been away on holiday, did almost 6,000 kilometers, drove to Namibia, and did a bit of a tour there and came down. And our little one, Kate, 2 years old now, she just talks and runs all over the place. So driving 5,000 kilometers with her was never going to be an option. So put her on the plane and she flew with her mom. And Annika and myself, we drove and Jonah had a holiday with his grandpa and his grandma and had an amazing time with Anneke, driving all those kilometers with her. And just goes on and on and talks and talks and talks. And Daddy has to give his full attention to her. And what a joy. Counted one of the greatest blessings of my life to have been given that time with her. Midway through our trip back, we in this very crowded engine. What do you call the thing? Shop. And we're standing in the queue. Standing in the queue and waiting for the pies to heat up. Ate a lot of wimpy and stuff while we were on the road. Mom packed a lot of fruit. We did eat some of the fruit, but mostly some of the other stuff. Again, like I told you last time, what we share here from this pulpit in Pretoria stays here. Okay? And midway through, just standing in the queue, she has me by the hand and her face grows a little bit sad. And I look and says, "Baby, what's wrong?" She's like, "I'm not going to be able to marry you one day." Okay. What do you do? I mean, in that moment, she could have asked me for anything. She only wanted to buy. So I did the right thing, and I said, "But Jesus is going to give you an amazing husband, and you're going to love him, and he's going to be incredible, and you'll still be able to visit me." And I'm saying, "Jesus, please keep that husband away as long as you can." Got home very late, after about 18 hours on the road. Before I fell asleep, the Lord told me, "Don't you dare forget that. Don't you dare forget that moment that you felt." Because that is what I experience when my children raise their hands to me. Say, "Daddy, I wish I could be with you forever." And it all just dawned on me how I am shortchanging myself by moving away from that so often. And so this evening, this whole weekend, I was praying for the service. And God, what do I say to them? What? And the Lord said, "Just tell them about me. I love them." I went on holiday and I had this purpose in my mind to spend a lot of time with God so He can give me a lot of meaty stuff that I needed. The word that He gave me was simply this: "You are worth more than many sparrows. You are worth more than many sparrows." Jesus said that. And that burns in my heart. And so I'm wanting to ask you, what is burning in your heart? Which word from Jesus lies there, fuels you, drives you, motivates you, comforts you, encourages you, picks you up? And maybe, just maybe, my prayer is that this evening, as we take a fresh look at a baby that was born 2,000 years ago, a little bit like Eben, so vulnerable, I trust the Lord that something in your heart will realize the immensity of His love for you. So I want you just to sit back, and we're going to watch for a few minutes a few scenes from the life of Jesus. And I believe that He wants to say something specific.
The Jews long for freedom
to you.
The Jews long for freedom.
That's what he said.
Their own land. From the capital, Jerusalem, to the provincial backwater of Galilee. The people take comfort in their faith and each other.
Father, we thank you, Lord, this evening that we can hold in high esteem the name of Jesus. A counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace. We thank you that forevermore you've come to settle the question in our hearts, whether you care or not. Thank you that you cared enough to become one of us. And thank you that for all of us who are in you, this is our beginning. This is how our story starts. And there are a few of us in this room this afternoon, and you are not very proud of your past. You are not very proud of your beginnings. In actual fact, you go around with this lie in your heart that you are a mistake. Should not have happened. I want to say to you this evening that you, as a child of God, trace your beginnings back to Christ. You are in Him. He is in you. This is your story. Jesus, thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you that you, in this moment, open up our eyes and our ears to receive the revelation of who you are, irrespective of where we are at, exactly what we need. We honor you, Holy Spirit. We are going to fast forward a few years, and I want you just to continue in this attitude of worship and just receive the next little snip. Thanks. Read your Bible. 2,000 years later, 2 billion people at present across the globe, he's still changing lives. He's still changing lives. He's real people. And he's alive. And I want to pray for us. Simple prayer. I'd like you to stand. God, we thank you that you threw out your net for us. We thank you that we have all been caught in the great net of your love. And that you have been drawing us closer and closer to yourself. And Jesus, we thank you that you have come to do for us that we could never do for ourselves. We thank you for that. I specifically, in my heart, tonight that there are, it's about 15 guys here, and you are in your desert. Desert of your temptations. And you are being knocked silly by the devil. But you haven't given up yet. You're still in it. You are committed to fighting and overcoming those temptations. Recently, you've said to yourself, I will overcome. You will not beat me. I will overcome you. And I believe the Lord is wanting to say to you tonight that Jesus has overcome them for you. For every failure you can think of,
Father is thinking of every victory Jesus achieved on your behalf. And for as long as you're going to fight those temptations as someone who still needs to overcome, as someone who is a loser and wanting to be a champion, you are going to lose. Because He has fought them for you. Scripture says that it is through the chastisement of Christ that our peace has come. You don't have to earn your peace with God. It has been earned for you. And it's a spectrum of temptations, not just sexual, it's financial. It involves your calling, taking shortcuts, falling for self-pity. I believe the Holy Spirit is wanting to say to you to look away from who you are not and look to who He is inside of you. You are forgiven, and that's why you can overcome. You don't overcome to be forgiven. You are forgiven. If you are in Him. And I'm going to ask you to come to the front. Boldly, if that is you, as a sign saying, Jesus, I am walking towards what You have done for me. I am acknowledging it in front of my friends. I cannot beat this, but You have beaten it for me. And forever, Christ, that will be enough for me. If that is you, just come. At least 15 of you, might be more. Come. Notice a sign of battle as a sign of surrender to what He has done. You have to prove yourself, man. He has proven Himself for you. Father wants to touch you deep in a profound way tonight. I'm going to ask you to speak to Him. Speak to Him. While we take a few minutes to focus on another very important group right here.
As we just keep our eyes bowed, I just want to pray for some special people here tonight. That if you were Peter sitting in that boat with Jesus, and tonight Christ is coming to you and He's saying, you have a life and it's a great life. You're doing well as a fisherman. But Jesus wants to say, come and follow Me. And we'll change the world. But first, I'm going to change you. I'm going to transform you and reshape you and renew you. And strengthen you, breathe life into you. And tonight, if you're here and you're wanting to say, Jesus, I'm going to follow You. Perhaps you've never made a commitment to say, Jesus, I'm laying my life down to follow You and to know You. Or maybe you have, but you've backslidden a little bit and you've haven't been following him as closely as you would have wanted, but tonight you're saying, Jesus, I'm coming to follow you again. Then I'm going to ask wherever you are, if that's you, I would so love to pray with you. If you could just slip up your hand and say, Philip, that's me. Pray with me tonight. It's nothing to be embarrassed or ashamed of. It's the most amazing decision we'll ever make to say, Christ, here I am, following you. Thank you for those hands that have gone up all over the place. You can put your hands down. I'm going to ask one more time. If that's you and you've raised your hand, I want you to raise your hand as high as you can go again. Maybe on the inside of you, there's still like this wrestling match going on. Shouldn't I? Shouldn't I? On the one hand, there's the enemy of your soul trying to keep you pinned exactly where you are. And why should I? Jesus, why should you allow Jesus into your boat? Why should you hand him the net? Why should you? You're doing fine just as you are. On the other hand, there's the love of Christ just drawing you, that irresistible pull. And Christ says the power of choice to put your hand out and to invite him into your boat is in your hand. It's a decision you get to make in your life. So I'm going to ask one more time and count to three. And as I get to three, if tonight you want to invite Christ into your boat, to say, Jesus, not only be in my boat, but take the steering wheel, the rudder of my boat. I'm following you wherever you're leading. If you want to say that tonight, whether for the first time or just to renew it, as I get to three, just raise your hand high. One, Christ is so excited about all he has in store for you. Two, he's not worried about the sin and the mess ups you've made. He'll sort all of that out. Three, just slip up your hand if that's you. I'm going to ask those of you who've raised your hands just to take like one more bold step. Just there where you are, just step out from the aisles and come and stand right in front of me over here. I'd love to pray with you. I'm going to ask those of you who are kneeling in the front, if you could just quietly just stand up. We're going to pray with all of you guys now. Just slightly just move to one of the sides and just make space for these precious people that are coming forward. Right? If you've raised your hand now, just come right to the front here. I want to pray with you. Such a beautiful moment. Look at all these precious people just responding to the love of God. Is there anybody else? Maybe somebody didn't quite have the courage to raise your hand, or you raised your hand but you thought, there's no ways I'm the only one walking to the front. Now you're standing there saying, man, I wish I could be in front. If there's anyone else, we'll wait for you before we pray with these precious people. I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer. For some of us, a prayer we're going to pray for the first time. For some of us, for the umpteenth time, and that's fine. We're going to ask the whole church to pray with us all. So we just surrender our lives to Jesus. Just again, just acknowledge that we need him. Is that okay? Can we pray that? Are you excited to pray that? Just pray after me as we pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this beautiful day, because I know this day, today, my life has changed. I can never be the same again. And Jesus, I don't want to be the same. Right now, I invite you into my boat, into my life, not as a passenger, but to take control and to lead me, to guide me in the path you have prepared. Jesus, I know you are the Son of the living God, and I'm just a sinner. I've messed up so many times, but thank you that you came for me. Thank you. Come into my life and lead me. I choose to follow. And Jesus, thank you that from today, I can know that I am your child. a child of the Most High King who created all of the universe. Thank you that I'm going to get to know you so beautifully, so powerfully, because you will never leave me. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Just before we go, I'm going to ask you just for a couple more moments. And I'm going to ask you, can you remember three things for me? Three things. Three things is easy, no? The first one, we've got small groups that meet during the week all across the city. If you're not one of those small groups already, someone's going to go and just chat to you for a couple of moments now. They're going to help you to get into a small group. But the first thing I want to ask from you is go this week if you can at all. This week already. Don't delay. Don't say I'll go next week. Go this week already. Okay, so small groups. Can you guys remember that? The second one is we've got a course that we present on the first Sunday of every month. It's called the Perspective Seminar. I want to invite you to come and do that. We're just going to speak about who is Jesus and what does it mean to follow him. How do we follow him and how do we read our Bibles? Basic things like that. And we'd love for you, even if you've been following Jesus for 70 years, we'd love for you to attend that as well. So it's small groups and then the Perspective Seminar and then the tricky one. Are you ready for this one? The first three people you see tomorrow morning, doesn't matter who they are, the first three people, tell them about the decision you've made tonight. Can you do that? So Perspective Seminar, small groups, and three people. And then as you turn around, there's going to be a really beautiful person standing behind you with a big smile on their face. And you can just turn around and meet them quickly and greet them. And we're going to ask just for a couple more moments, just as long as you want. If it's 10 seconds, it'll be 10 seconds. If you need a bit more time, as long as you need. Just to pray with, maybe there's something specific on your heart that you want someone to pray with you about, or just you've got questions, you just need to talk to something, whatever it may be. They're there to help you and to pray with you. So I'm going to ask you just to follow Sean, the orange shirt over there, if you could just raise your hand, Sean. Just follow him out the door, Sean. Maybe just turn that light on as well so we don't have people falling off the balcony. We've got a special room prepared for you, just a quiet place where you can talk to someone and pray with them. So if you could just follow Sean just out that door, just as long as you need, we are available for you. So let's give them a big hand as they go.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church, we believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. You